Today on Real Life Radio.
God says, leave off your old life, the old you. Come with me. And our thinking is, just tell me where we're going and I'll come with you. Jesus says, you come with me. Follow step by step in our walk with him, experience after experience. And then when we look back, we can see what things he has done. And it's absolutely thrilling.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The End, Part 3, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but we can prepare for it. Peter has only a little time left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us for the danger of only knowing who Jesus is and not having a relationship with him. You see, in the insanity of this world, there is one thing that stands forever, the Bible. Scripture will never pass away and will continue to guide us and reveal to us the things yet to come. There is no other book that was written by the will of any man, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack reminds us that even though we have our personal struggles, our trials keep every true Christian looking forward to the Lord's return. In this world, we will have trouble, but we also have a purpose that challenges us to be ready for his coming. And now in his message called The End, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We have a purpose to this mission of life, and it's to tell people. He wants us to tell people. So how do you get that out of this portion of Scripture? It's very simple. Number one, the word look here, or looking, circle it please, it means probably what you think. And we've studied it before earlier on in our study, but it means to be with anticipation, watching, waiting, expectant. It means to be expecting with a state of fulfillment. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord or my going to him. In other words, listen, you and I don't care about your eschatology right now if you're pre-post-millennial in your theology. Listen, do this, please, for everybody including you. Live for Christ today like it's your last day. Amen. Let the theologians beat that stuff up. You want to be safe? Live for Jesus today as though he's coming today. Amen. Jesus warned that there'll be those in the last days that will say, watch out, my master delays his return. Jesus said that kind of thinking gets you into trouble. Expect him now. And that's that word to be looking. With great expectation, looking for Christ on the horizon. Now listen, church, circle the word hastening. This is really, really both weird and wonderful. You can buy volumes of books on what the meaning is in the original language for verse 12, and let me spare you the money. Nobody knows its meaning for sure. That should bring you some sort of comfort, but it should also raise your eyebrow. So what are we getting into? Well, we know this. Looking is the call of the church to be urgent in life. Hastening. The word hastening means this, to hurry up. It means to quicken. It means to have something, listen, brought swiftly. That's the meaning of the word. It's the interpretation that's tough. Look at your Bibles with me. The looking, definite article, the looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, we unpack it this way. The day of God, we know theologically, is eternity. The day of God hasn't happened yet. It's when all this is done. Watch this. The church age will be complete. The tribulation period has to be over. Christ has to come back to the throne of David, which will be in Jerusalem. That's got to be over. 1,000-year reign of the Messiah has got to come to an end. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Satan will be released in the last or for a few moments to test those who were born into the kingdom age. They're going to need to have faith in Christ. And then the Bible tells us the end comes. And when that end comes, the Bible says that all things physical are done away, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and there's eternity. That's called the day of God. It hasn't happened yet. What's strange about this, Peter suggests to us, you can hasten that arrival. And this is where we are shocked and impressed and convicted. Looking for is the immediate urgent now. That's an order from Jesus. We're to be looking and living our lives urgently now for Christ. In doing that, the Bible implies that we can actually move the calendar of eternity closer. And I don't understand that. And nobody does. Has nothing to do with the day or the hour. It has nothing to do with dates, calendars, and has nothing to do with that. But the Bible clearly says here that you and I, by inviting people into the kingdom of God, and by you and I living a life that honors the Lord in obedience to him, we can move the needle and bring eternity closer for us. Why does he let us know this? Why is that in the Bible? It's for us to know, but why? I don't know why, other than to motivate. But you know how much faith it's gonna take to believe, you know what, right now, what's today's, what is today? What year are we in? Is it still 2020? I've had enough of this year. Although spiritually, it's been the greatest year ever. But God says, you obey me in this and you tell others about my love and forgiveness and it can move the needle. Do we really want to see the needle moved? I tell you what, you spend and you read and you meditate more on the attributes of heaven and you'll want to move the needle. I don't know if anything's captivating you here anymore in this world, but I don't think so. And that's a beautiful picture, by the way, because it speaks of what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:1. In 1 Peter 1:1, Peter said that he's the apostle of Jesus Christ to the pilgrims of the diaspora. Pilgrims. That's what you and I are, pilgrims. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands right now. Okay, put your hand down. You're a pilgrim. You know what's great about a pilgrim? A pilgrim has left somewhere. You can't be a pilgrim until you leave. You got to leave somewhere. You got to leave what used to be, right? And it implies that they are on a course, that they are on a journey. But listen, a pilgrim has a place to land. This is what's cool. A moment ago, you raised your hands, and it means that according to you and the Word of God and what God's doing in your life, you've got a finish point. You've got a landing pad that you're heading toward. No matter how far you go out in life, the moment you come to Christ, God sets you on a course, and the landing zone is heaven. And everything that you and I do in the meantime is to equip others and to bring as many people with us into the kingdom of God as possible. Isn't that amazing? You as a believer, when the Holy Spirit's working in your life, I always find this amazing, I always have, that the Holy Spirit in you, you care more about your friend's soul than your friend does. You ever wept over your friends who are blind to Christ? Burdened, concerned. I have friends in my life. They're like this close to the kingdom. And I want to kick them. Kick them right in. Is that close? Say, oh, look over there. Push you up. You can't do it. But they're so close. And I, like you, I feel the tension of these last days. I mean that in a good way. You know, Lord, whatever's next. You can tell something's coming. Just, Lord, make us ready. But man, I tell you, if we go up, oh, I've got friends that are going to miss the rapture of the church, and I love them. I love their souls more than they do. If you think about it, and so do you as a believer. Why? Because we're pilgrims on a journey. We've left our previous life, and we're en route now with Christ. And that word looking for is a suggest of a ship that's underway at sea. And that word hastening to hurry up and the coming of the day of God is a powerful statement because we are not nomads or nomadic. You know, nomad, I love this, watch. A nomad will wander with the weather or with the wind. A nomad just drifts. Like in the Middle East, they're Bedouins. They have amazing skill to read the weather and the soil and everything about them, but they're not going anywhere. They can't tell you where they're going next because they don't know. They go with the, are you with me? They're drifters. A pilgrim's not like that. A pilgrim can tell you, oh, I left I left that point and I'm going this way. I'm landing over there. Did you guys all see the Falcon 9 stuff that Elon Musk did? You know, he shoot the rocket up into space, right? Did you see where those guys, out in the sea, there's a barge. It's not very big. There's a barge floating. And it's not very big. I mean, seriously, I've seen the barge in person. You could probably fit three of them in this room. That thing was in space. And when it catapults the main rocket out into space, those boosters fall back to Earth, and then they get a GPS coordinates going, and they fire a rocket, and that thing comes and lands in the middle of the ocean on a platform and standing straight up. Have you seen it? It looks fake. First time I saw it, I said, that's fake. There's no way. It was a pilgrim. It left a point and it came to an exact same point again. That's our lives. We're not wandering about. I love this. Listen, Hebrews chapter 11, write this down. Get a tattoo, put a mark, whatever it takes, t-shirt. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. This is an awesome passage. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Listen, God told Abraham, leave your city, leave your family. Leave Ur of the Chaldees. Go. God spoke to him. And he went out. That's awesome. Here's the best part. Not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine? Sarah, Abraham, where are we going? I got this. Well, honey, where are we going? You know how women are, you know, in the car. Where are we going? I got it. It's a surprise. Mm-hmm. Where are we going? Should you turn there? No, I got it. So Abraham, what's up? Okay, Sarah, here's the deal. God spoke to me. He said to follow him. Can you imagine we always point to the faith of Abraham, the faith of Sarah. Poor Sarah. Abraham's following God. Sarah's following him. It's kind of like a marriage, isn't it? Wow. And so verse 9 says that by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them in the same promise, same word, same promise. Verse 10, for he waited, that is, think of it, that's the land of promise. Abraham was still as a pilgrim. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left everything comfortable. God said, go. God had the target. Listen, Christians, this is our lives. God says, leave off your old life, the old you. Come with me. And our thinking is, just tell me where we're going and I'll come with you. Jesus says, you come with me. And the Christian life, the pilgrim journey of the Christian is every day, every week, every month, every year, he reveals more. And it's so amazing because we follow step by step. Do we not follow step by step in our walk with him, experience after experience? And then when we look back, we can see what things he has done. And it's absolutely thrilling. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He went out following God, not knowing where he was going. I remember years ago when we came across, as a small church, we came across this land you're sitting on, about 13 acres, completely vacant dirt. And I remember specifically, it's strange, but I remember that as a church, we had $222,000 in the bank for savings, and this land was millions of bucks. And so we found out who owned it, and we made an offer. And our offer was so low, after the guy cussed us out, then he threw us out of his office. It's just like, well, all right. But we kept praying. We didn't go look anywhere else. It's interesting. We looked here. And about a month later, the guy calls us up. We want to talk about it? And long story short, you're sitting in it. Everything around you was built by, this is what's great. Listen, people, at that time, we spoke to a bank. It's called Bank of the West. It's a bank out of France, I think. It's a French bank. And you know, they do this, so we're sitting there. First of all, we're trying to emit something like we know what we're doing. Yes, we have this much and we need this much. And so they said, what is your 15-year plan? What's your 15-year business plan? Our 15-year business plan is to be in heaven. It's true. Didn't go over well. But it's true. But you know what? All along the way, I'm sure a business consultant would have told us, you don't say that. Let me tell you. You know why God's blessing this place? Because we still do not know what we're doing. We stopped making plans a long time ago. He knows better. Let him go. Let him take the helm. Let him take the lead. Let him take the wheel. He's amazing. Listen, if you don't know what it's like to have him lead, you've got a wonderful thing in store for you. Because when you let him go, he knows exactly where he's going. And you're like, your hair is freaking out and you're hanging on. And your lips are flapping in the wind because you're going so fast. We're trying to keep up with Jesus here. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, by the way. If you did not see yesterday, you've got to go online. It shook. It has shaken California. Thank God. All the people we wanted to get excited about, California got excited, and all the people that we wanted to see get upset about it got upset about it, and it was amazing. But even that day, and then earlier in the week, I had the glorious opportunity to be once again with Dennis Prager, and then with Ben Shapiro's team at the Daily Wire, and one media interview after another. Why? Because we just happen to be a church that's open, and God is moving, and they want to see. No, I sat down with the editor-in-chief of Daily Wire, and he said, no, tell us. How's it going? What's going on? And I don't know. God's doing something. We're hanging on. And that's true for our lives. Remember that. Why? Because there's the coming of the day of God. When all of this is consummated for Christ and for eternity. The next thing that we see in verses 12 to 13 is that our purpose is to warn them. We're not only to invite people, but we're to warn them. And we don't need to belabor it because it's the second time he has said it in such few verses. Why warn them? Because the Bible says the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Literally, language used by Peter under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that is modern day physics today, astrophysics, and its teaching. We are to warn them. But Christian, we need to be ready. We need to believe this. Believe the Bible. We need to be ready, but to be ready, you got to get ready. To embrace the Word of God. Listen, how do you do that? Well, real practically, I'm hearing some good news from people. I'm very impressed with the younger generation right now. I'm having young people tell me, hey, Pastor Jack, I gave up social media. You what? Yeah, I closed out all my accounts. I've had a month of absolute peace. One person told me, I went back to it. I was off of it for 2 weeks. I went back to it and found out that nothing had changed in the 2 weeks from when I was on and off. I just decided to give it up. Think about that. Looking around, searching, checking out, getting ready. Getting ready to meet Jesus. Getting ready to tell others. Getting ready to warn them. Love does that. To be ready, you got to get ready. And you got to stay ready. And in my own life, maybe in your life, I'm sure it's true. So how does this happen? To warn them. Are you willing to embrace this as a follower of Jesus? You know the struggles that you're going through in personal relationships with people? Maybe it's even a spouse and your neighbors are watching. Maybe you have unsaved relatives, they're watching. People are watching. And you say things like this, why is God doing this? Why is this happening to me? I don't know why. But I know this, that God will allow things in life to drive you to your knees. Well, why can't my husband just give his heart to Christ? Well, number one, know that it's God's will. God desires your husband to come to Christ, but God's not going to bend your husband's arm. That's the bummer. Right? Emotionally, that's the bummer. But God will have no pimping are prostituting when it comes to relationship. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be given willingly. And so maybe a husband or a wife laments, why is this happening to me? And yet, as an outsider, I hear them say, I pray all the time for them. Could it be that in the wisdom of God, that is exactly what's needed in your life to cause you to be close to Jesus? It sounds kind of cruel, but he knows us. And of course, he's never cruel. What about physical challenges? Oh, I've had this problem. I've had this cancer. I've had this disease. I've had this sickness. What about that? Have you noticed how close you are to God because of it? Is God willing and able to allow you to go through sufferings to the point that that is the very prescription he knows in his wisdom to keep you at the throne? There's a beautiful family here with baby G. We call her baby G. And the day baby G was born, she was born with vaginal cancer. And she's had reconstructive surgery. She's four, almost four and a half. And that, I have literally lost count of how many surgeries she has had at world-renowned hospitals. When that baby was born, mom and dad's lives were placed on hold. And when you see a picture of baby G, she's got tubes and she's got scars and she's got things. And when the camera comes out, she'll stand there and smile. And you hear the pain and the endurance of mom and dad. How do you answer that? I can't. Only this. God says he loves us. God says this world's going to come to an end and eternity is going to be worth it all. And that baby G's ministry, she may not preach to thousands and she may not go to the mission fields of India. God is using that little girl to minister to mom and dad to keep them at the throne. And don't you dare question him or them. God knows exactly what you and I need to experience to keep us at the throne. It's true for all of us. Listen, it could be financial stress. Financial stress. This, you know, you go look online and you look at the average household income of Chino Hills, for example, and it's one of the tops in the state and highly desirable place to live and all this stuff. And you look at these areas. And we live in an affluent area. And you might be here today and you're saying, well, I'm not affluent and I love the Lord. I'm not doubting that you love the Lord. You say, Jack, we work our tails off just to get the month to come together at the end. Are you willing to let God be God in your life to the point that you're here at this church because he uses you to minister to the hearts of people who have much? To say to them, bless them.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in his message called The End, Part 3. Thanks for listening today. The End, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, there's a reason Peter encourages us to keep looking up. We may not be able to change our circumstances, but we can change our outlook. One way to stay inspired through the hectic pace of life is to download the Real Life app. It's packed full of features like real life podcasts, TV programs, radio broadcasts, weekly devotions, and a whole library of Pastor Jack's teachings. You'll even find a mobile-friendly one-year Bible reading plan that you can read at your leisure or listen to while you're on the go. So take full advantage of our content for yourself and then share it with your friends. You can download the Real Life app at the App Store or through the website jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.